When the late Dr. O.P. Kretzmann, president of Valparaiso University, addressed the Alumni Association, he said, "Before we went in to see the Pope, we were given instructions about what to wear and what to say. Women were told that they should wear black, dresses up to the neck, down to the elbows and ankles. A disrespectful Irishman in the crowd asked, 'Wouldn't it be easier to blindfold the Holy Father?'" "Well, that might be a more efficient way of preventing the Pope from seeing something he shouldn't. Physically, that is. But that really isn't or shouldn't be the point. If we're presenting ourselves before a true VIP such as the Pope, I doubt any sensible person would go in for the audience without putting on very nice clothes. It would be unseemly, unbecoming, obnoxious, disrespectful, and downright rude to do otherwise. Yet people do this when appearing to worship the Holy One of Israel, the Creator and King of all the universe. Yes, those who've given their lives to the Savior of all the world, Christ Jesus, are covered with his blood and thereby have his righteousness imputed to them, and can boldly approach God's throne of grace. But how often do those same believers presume on God's grace and approach him with no reverence or respect befitting the King of all kings and Lord of all lords? Those who've never known the Lord before are surely invited to come to him just as they are. But once people come to know their Savior and love him, coming respectfully to him in their hearts becomes second nature. He's our friend, but also our Lord, Master, and Creator. We are his servants, at the same time his friends. We're his younger siblings, but still his creatures. We must never forget who it is we're coming to worship and pay homage to. We're born as humans into this physical world because we ourselves are physical beings. But that's not all we are. We, like our Father Creator God, are tripartite beings. We have a physical body, an unphysical soul, and a completely spiritual spirit. We cannot live as God designed without all three parts of ourselves unified. Thus, we live and move and have our being in these physical bodies, in physical ways, but always vivified, enlivened, and kept living by God's Spirit empowering our spirits to live. Though unbelievers do not have the Spirit of God inside them as believers do, because the power of God's Spirit upholds all of creation, nothing alive would remain alive without Holy Spirit's power. As is often and rightly said, the more time we spend with something or someone, the more we take on the characteristics of that thing or person. This is especially true when we spend time with our Lord, as did Elisha. Why, the miracles the Lord performed through him are astounding. Making a heavy axe head fallen in a river to rise and float on top of the water, also that it could be properly later returned to its owner, was no more difficult for Elijah than going into another room to retrieve a tool. But Elisha was special. So was Elijah, his mentor and predecessor. And so it was throughout Old Testament times. But what happened after our Lord Jesus came, sacrificed himself, rose from the dead, and then reascended back to heaven? We read of the Lord working equally stupendous miracles through the hands of a whole slew of people, the original disciples of the Lord, and then through the believers who came to faith after hearing the gospel in later years, even up to our present time. So what was the difference? Select individuals who truly lived in God's presence day after day after day became the mighty prophets of old. But when Lord Jesus came, those who lived in his presence, both while he physically lived and after he ascended into heaven, they also became mighty instruments, mighty servants of God. You see, the few in the Old Testament became the many in the New Testament, and still are to this day. Yet as Paul informs us, none of us are the same. Just because Elisha could raise an axe head from the water, or literally see and hear the plans Aram's king, does not mean that anyone else, even now, should have strived to do the exact same things. For as Holy Spirit instructs us in Romans 12:6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. We're not all prophets like Elisha or Daniel or the Apostle John. As is written through Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:14, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Further, verses 17 through 19 reassure us, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. So we, each and every one of us, is vital to the health of the entire body of Christ, which is the universal church, the bride of Christ. Not a single one of us can slough off our duty and position in the body. If we do, the body is not well, even sickened in one way or other. We each are equally important, but have different functions, which are all vitally necessary for the proper functioning of the whole. We cannot and can never divide ourselves from each other, and least of all from Christ Jesus himself. Even a cursory glance at the American church reveals just how fractured and impotent most of it is. Estranged from each other and falling away from the knowledge of its Lord and Savior and husband, is it any wonder why the United States and the world is so confused, deceived, and wicked these days? We're spreading darkness, not light. Elisha's young servant woke up one morning, went outside, and was terrified to see a massive army massed around their little camp, just waiting to slaughter Elisha and company. The servant rushed back to Elisha, shaking with fear, knowing their lives were soon forfeit, cried out to Elisha, "What shall we do?" Hoping beyond hope that there was something they could do to stave off their inevitable deaths. Elisha, unflappable, calm as a cucumber, because he'd spent so much time focused on God that he could see beyond this physical into the spiritual realms that surround us even right now and always do. So he asked God to open the servant's eyes to see what's really all around them. 2 Kings 6:17 reads, "The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire." Not just more horses and chariots. These were fire horses and fire chariots. Fire, flaming, burning, but not burning up. Here was real power. Nothing at all to fear now. No thing and no one could possibly stand against this heavenly army of angels for even a second. I bet that servant was so glad and relieved that he was on God's side right about now. Few people today who have devoted their lives to focusing on God are gifted by him to see the spiritual. And even those that have don't see everything. There is more than just one aspect of the spiritual realm. The spiritual has many dimensions, and we may each be dwelling in heaven for eons before we'll be able to see even the half of it. Human Elisha could see much of the spiritual realm around from time to time, but not all the time. It would be too much, overwhelming, to see everything all the time and still live and move in this physical world, because we are, after all, physical beings. But it is clear that at particular times and places, it's necessary for some to be able to see beyond the physical. And in this particular instance recorded in 2 Kings 6, This privilege was extended to one of the young whippersnapper prophets, given the plum assignment to be the lead and head prophet, Elisha's assistant. At Elisha's request, the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And again at Elisha's request, the Lord caused the Arameans to see only what Elisha wanted them to see. In other words, God blinded the evil opposition to even the physical world. Can you imagine what it would be like to see, but not see what was really there physically? You're seeing, but not seeing what's really there. Is this not just another form of deception? When people put themselves in opposition to God, in disobedience to his laws and commands, they open themselves up to be deceived. And this is what is occurring all around us in these last days. But not just to the wicked and evil politicians and judges and lawyers and the rich men north of Richmond, sung about by the new farmer phenom from West Virginia, Oliver Anthony. This deception can and does afflict even God's children, who neglect to keep their focus on him and so fall short of perfect vision. If we all had perfect vision, why, we too could and would see and hear into the private and nefarious doings of the many evil and other people being used by evil to promote sedition, hatred, ugly wickedness, and lies plaguing our country today. But even some of us are falling prey to them instead of standing up against them. As Peter proclaimed his rabbi and master, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," he had been shown this by the Father. So too can we be shown the true reality of things if we walk with the Lord and listen to his Spirit day by day. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving each one of us faith and for your promise that you would bring our faith to fullness and completion at the proper time for each one of us. Thank you that we can trust you when we don't understand, and especially in those times. May we truly keep our hands in yours, Lord Jesus. Amen.